Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Gianna Rayburn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hi, Sheila. Welcome to the Retro Nerds podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. Oh my gosh. Wait, to spill the tea a little bit, we have been chatting before we started recording. And oh my gosh, I've been having so much fun talking to you. So on to this.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to chat with you. I was telling you, I was like, I'm surprised we haven't talked before. But it's like long lost in relationship. Like we long lost friends. We just like,
know, it's like we have gosh, my sister from another mister. Well, yeah, maybe I say more like my daughter, but anyway.
So it is okay. Sheila, tell us a little bit about yourself.
About myself, oh my. Well, I've been doing this since forever and love writing. And I started out, as many people know, wanting to be a songwriter. And so I spent a fortune on trips to Nashville and songs demos. And I just, by the time I was really pursuing this, we had three little kids and one of them handicapped. And my husband just could not wrap his mind around the idea of, let's all move to Nashville with no job and no money so Sheila can become a famous songwriter. And then I just sort of got this idea for a book, and I just sort of stumbled into my writing career. That sold. And I remember my husband saying, why don't you stick with writing because you're actually making money at that. That's how that turned out. I still dabble in songwriting, though. I still enjoy doing that. But this is where I'm supposed to be, I believe. And so I love that. And I know they talk about writers being introverts, and I'm kind of not one. I'm kind of the opposite end of the spectrum. Very people-oriented, and I can only stand so much in my own company, and then I want to party. I want somebody to come over. I want somebody to play with me. I want to play games. I want to whatever, play tennis, go dancing. I'm not one of those. I just have to stay home and charge my batteries. And you know the difference between an introvert and an extrovert? You probably, yes, I'm sure you do.
It depends, because there's actually like a format. I'm like half and half. I'm a little bit, I need some alone time to recharge a little bit of time.
Okay.
But I need talking. I'm an extrovert. I send voice messages to my friends all day long.
Oh, like, I love that. You're a little of each.
Yeah, know? I'm a little bit of each. But I know like some of the extroverts need, like they get the energy from groups and people.
And we just suck it out of everybody else. It needs to be time away from people. And I'm going, but that's okay. We're all different, right? And that's what might be interesting. But yeah, yes, so that's a little bit about me.
I love this. I'm so glad that you started writing books. You know, a happy accident, and you have a career, and you have a longevity of career because you've been writing for some time. So it's not like a brand new thing. So
yeah.
Talk to us about your journey, like as you, because you have delved into different genre specifics and stuff like that. Talk to us about that journey of like going from that debut to where you are now.
Yeah, I tried a lot of different things. Unlike a lot of my friends who kind of knew from the beginning what they wanted to write, I wanted to dabble in a lot of different things. And I started out writing Regency romances. They were kind of Regency, but the old-fashioned Jane Austen kind with some humor thrown in. And those were really fun, but I'm just not the best detail person. And hard as I would try to get my research right, there was always something that went wrong. And finally, it was like, okay, that Sheila is done. She's gone. Let's try writing in the time period you live in now. Probably will work better. And that has worked better. Much as I love historicals, I still love a good historical, but there is a lot of work that goes into those to making sure that your research is accurate. And I just don't think that's me. I mean, I can mess up enough writing something contemporary. I don't need to mess up history. That's what I like to do. And I've kind of evolved over the years. My roots were in romance, kind of I'm a closed door girly. And so what I write now is a mix of women's fiction with some romance thrown in. Just life in general, because for most of us as women, our lives are multifaceted. Most of us are balancing careers. A lot of us have kids or husbands. Many of us are doing volunteer work. Our lives are full and busy. And so I think there is a lot that can be put in a story about women that is multifaceted, I guess, is a good way to say it. So that's where I've evolved.
Yeah, I love this evolution. I love the fact that we see The Man Next Door, which has a little bit of touch of mystery, touch of like women's fiction, romance in specific. Like you're blending the different genres, but you're still giving women an arc, like a character arc, like a story about it. relationship among mother, daughter, relationship with friends, relationship like multi-generational. And so that gives a rich tapestry to give you a story that's beyond just like one thing, one action, give you multiple plots and ideas.
And I think we all in life, we all grow and change. And I think what makes a story so interesting is to see your character. She starts here and she needs help. And then she conquers whatever is in the way and she grows into a better person. And I feel like that can be hopefully inspiring to readers too. Whatever you're going through, we're strong as women and we can conquer so many challenges if we remind ourselves we're capable of doing that and we get in there and work it. And sometimes I think fear can cripple you or it's lack of confidence. And I realize I do have a trend with a lot of my books. The heroines are always overcoming something and stronger by the end of the story. And I think that's an important message for us as women. Don't give up.
Yeah.
If you're in a bad spot right now, you don't have to stay stuck in the bad spot. You don't have to stick there with your wheel spinning. You can find a way to get out. And often we do that with the people in our lives, with our friends. I think it's really important to have community, whether that's your family, your sisters, or just your sisters of the heart. I think it's very important to have support when you're working on bettering your life. Not the kind of support that says, oh, it's only money, go buy the Coach purse. The kind of support that says, remember, you're on a budget. That kind of support.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you need to have trusted friends or trusted people to actually call you out on your thing and to actually give you the resources and the support system that you need. Or the little nudge to either go make the phone call or go to the therapist or do what you need to do. Face that fear. I was talking to a friend. I was like, in my 30s, I was facing my fears. I was actually like embracing the idea. And I've stopped into my 40s and I'm having those conversations like, hey, maybe this is a good time to face some fears, like get out of your comfort zone. And I think reading allows you to see other people's experiences and allows you to heal and allows you to be reflected in your stories and at the same time to say, maybe if they can do it, then maybe I can do it.
I love that. And yay for you for doing that and being proactive. The secret ingredient to our success or failure is usually us. And just if anybody out there is listening and feeling discouraged, hang in there because you can, whatever you're dealing with, you can conquer it.
Yeah. Yeah, you can. I think our mind can tell something, can tell us a story. And the reality is that we have what we consider wise mind and intuition or something that gives us a better place to land, a more soft place to land. And sometimes we just don't have to engage with what our head is telling us, where it's like, you're not supposed to.
And I love that. Yeah, don't listen to that little voice. Listen to the wisdom that's available right there on your other shoulder.
Yeah. So when you're writing this book, like the books and starring the character arcs, do you, in some ways, I hate to say this, are you panther or plotter? Like, do you know where the character's going or the characters dictate where they're going? Or are they telling you, like, you know, this doesn't fit me for what you think you're putting me in the situation and based on this character arc? Because I think with women's fiction, you have to understand the character's motivation and sometimes their personality and their strengths and weaknesses, and they can dictate how they're going to interact with other people or other experiences, and hopefully in the end probably get stronger, because not every character gets strong in the same way.
That's true. And I always laugh with people saying, oh, my character told me this and told me that. I'm going, no, my characters don't get a voice. I rule that world. I am telling you what you're going to do, what you're going to learn, who you're going to be and who you'll be at the end. So I am just a big believer in being in control. But maybe that's one of the things I like about writing, because it's the one place you can be in control of everything. And I think that's kind of a cool thing. So I do like to plan, not that I plan every single little scene ahead of time, but I do a detailed synopsis. I kind of call it the spine of the story. I've got the spine, so I know what my beginning is. I know where I'm going. And then I can put the body on that as I go along. I can flesh it out. I can add more to my character. But I feel like it's really important to kind of have an idea where you're going. It's like if you're going on a trip without your Maps app, you might never get there. And so for me, kind of doing some pre-planning, figuring out what the gist of my story is, That's my Maps app for my story. And so I'm a big believer in that. I know some people know I don't want to do that. I just want to be surprised as I go along. Maybe I don't trust myself enough to figure out that I'll do it as I'm writing, because I don't want to waste time writing pages and then go, where am I? So I like to kind of have an idea of where I'm going. That's me. I know every author is different.
Every author is different. I've asked this question hundreds of times, and every author has their own formula, their own way, their own
experience.
Sometimes it's just where you are, and sometimes the book dictates where the plan is going and what you're trying to do. And so I think it's allowing yourself to own your own process. I think it's helpful to listen to authors talk about their process and take what you like and leave the rest.
Yeah. And everybody's, like you said, everybody's is different. One of my friends years ago, she would just write scenes and then print them out and place them on the floor and move around. Yeah. Like, what?
Oh my gosh. It's like constructing, like a puzzle.
Like that word for, and my husband has started writing also with his first book. I'm trying to get him to plan this out ahead of time. He just wants to jump in and write the scenes. And I go, do you know where you go? I know what I'm doing. I'm like, but it would give me hives. I'm like, let me just get in here and fix this for you. And of course, you can't do that because he's his own person and his own writer. But oh my gosh, it would just make me buggy. But there you go.
I think it's control. I think it's like we want to control. Like, okay, we're going to
see control. Control is all we're being in charge.
Yes, which is totally fine. Like, so we're the control freak. I'm like, I need to know what's going to happen. Like, my anxiety is like, future. I need to know how to plan the future.
I am with you, Laura.
Like, I don't care about the past. The past is like when it really happened. I just need to plan the future and now what it's going to look like.
I like that. I like it. I hear you. That's me too.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Let's talk about the man next door, which is a multi-generational, down her luck daughter comes back to live with her mom who has broken her leg. And there's a next door neighbor who could be a murderer or could be something. And we're just trying to cover what's going on. So talk to us about this book.
You know, I really had fun writing this book. It's kind of a spinoff on that old classic Hitchcock movie, Rear Window. Yes. And I got to thinking, you know, what if we upped the game here and did a modern version of that with the women? And so we did, like you said, we've got our character, Louise, who's, I think there's a lot of me and Louise. I mean, friends have taken videos of me dancing on cruise ships and it is scary. But anyway, so we got Louise and she was very happily married, but she's ready for Mr. Louise II. So she goes on this singles cruise and she's just really showing her moves and she trips over a deck chair, breaks her leg, and off we go. And now we're stuck home. And fortunately for her, not for Zona, her daughter Zona has had to move home because of financial difficulties. She's marriage number two has not worked. She doesn't have good luck with men. Marriage number two, the husband has developed a gambling problem and gambled away not only their money and their savings, but also the money they were saving for the daughter's college fund. And now here she is. I'm back home living with mom. I'm in my 40s. I'm living with mom. But lo and behold, of course, like you said, we have this hunky neighbor who moves in next door. And mom, the matchmaker, number three, third try is the charm. This could be the man for her. And her theme is just fine at first and nice and blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, this woman shows up. Has he got a girlfriend? And oh my gosh, we are hearing serious, scary fighting. What is going on over there? And it just sort of unravels from there. Where's the girlfriend? Where is the girlfriend? Did he bury her in the flower bed? And on it goes. And so it's kind of a fun little what if. And maybe the moral of that is don't spy on your neighbors. I don't know. Or spy on them more carefully. Anyway, yeah. I just had a really good time with that. It was just a fun combination of relationships and romance and some humor and some mystery all kind of rolled into one. And I really like the women's relationships in it because even though Louise is a little dingy, she's also got some wisdom in her. And I love the relationship with her and her mom. And it just makes me think of, I had such a good relationship with my mom. She was my best friend. And I've got a great relationship with my daughter and I interfere in her life on a regular basis.
And it's okay. Mom does the same thing.
But
okay.
Anyway, it's just kind of fun. And then we've got the third generation, the granddaughter, who's looking at all this going, my mom is out of her mind. I am never getting involved with it. And so it's just kind of fun to watch that three generational thing. And I like whenever possible, not all the time, but a lot of times to be able to put more than one generation in a book because we love a good love story. And especially when you're young, oh my gosh, it's all about love. But then when you're older, it can still be all about love. And I've heard from several older women and middle-aged women going, hey, thanks for including me in a story, because life doesn't stop just because you turned 40. Or, you know, it keeps going on.
Or 80. Let me tell you, when I was in a pandemic, my boss's 80-year-old mother-in-law was stuck in the nursing home, and she was living her best life. She got married again. She wanted
to love that.
Like with her next door neighbor, like, and they're like, they had a little Cohen wedding and stuff. So it is okay. Like, it is fine. Everyone's having fun.
Well, all I gotta tell for you cute little hot youngins watching, I gotta tell you, once upon a time, it's always a shock to look in the mirror because I keep thinking I'm 30 and a babe, but I'm going, what happened? Anyway, I tell people it's a little like when you're young, you're like the shell of you. You're like you riding around in a Maserati. Yeah. And as life goes on, the Maserati starts to break down. And then pretty soon, you're riding around in this beater. And I'm going, well, I end up in a beater because I'm still me inside the beater. And I think that's just kind of how it works. Our spirits stay eternally young. And I think it's no matter what your age, the idea of living life to the fullest is going to stand you in good stead. Whether you're young and afraid to jump out there and start your life, go for it. If you're older and you're thinking my life is done, no, it's not. I'm just a believer, whether you're riding in a Maserati or a junker, you just drive that thing and you go for it.
Yeah, I think it's also like the idea that you, I think there's the idea expiration day, and I'm in the middle age at this point. And it's like there for a long time, it's like, I remember in my 20s, I was like, I'm going to turn 30 in so many years. I was so afraid. Yeah. And then when I turned 30, I was like, oh, this is great. And then when I turned 40, which was like the space where I was like, what is happening? I was just like, no, it's even better. Like, there's something about age. There's something about the idea of wisdom that you get. You let go of the hangups that the youth have. You let go of the space of like, we're not sure like what I'm meant to be doing or what society tells me to do. Heather was telling me, I was like, I'm happy to be single, free, no men, having my best life possible. And it wouldn't be possible in my 30s. And I had to walk through that process to understand. And I can imagine when I turn 70 or 80, I'm just going to live my best life possible with my friends. And how my I think there's so much to look forward to, but we're so afraid.
I know we shouldn't be. And you're entering into your power years, frankly.
Yeah.
The 30s and 40s and 50s even are awesome years. And 60s are great, too. You know that every generation, there's something great. And I feel like we as women, our lives change like seasons. When you're young, okay, we're doing the dating and mating and the urge to merge thing. And we're having children and we're raising another generation. But we're also often working and we're building ourselves with a career. And we're becoming more confident in who we are, what we are. And then as you get older, it's like you enter the wisdom years because you've lived a lot, you've seen a lot, and you've learned a lot. And very often, you're very different than you were when you were 30 because you have learned so much. So every time in life, there's something important and good and something that you can be sharing with other people. Anyway, that's what I think.
I appreciate your take and appreciate writing middle age and writing older generations and actually having mothers a part of the books. Because a lot of times we have these terrible mother relationships that are like mother is dead and there's like no familial relationship. I think it's something to be said, like there's family relationship, like mother daughter relationship is something to explore. And whether it's good or bad or whatever that's going to look like, I think it's healing to watch other people, how they interact with their family.
True. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about your reading life. What types of books do you tend to read?
I do read across the board. I'm a Grisham junkie. I love John Grisham. Jane Austen was one of my high school and college. I discovered Jane Austen. And if I'm going to reread, that's often who I'll reread is good old Jane. And then there was Georgette Heyer, loved her. And of course, I have so many friends who are writers in the romance and women's fiction field that I spend a lot of time reading that because you want to support your friends. And of course, I also love discovering new readers, though. And I've discovered a few of those here in the last few months. And I'm finding that very fun. My big frustration is I feel like I don't have quite as much time to read as I was would like, because working during the day and then usually doing something with the hubs in the evening. And so reading, it's like I now have these days. I used to stay up till 3 a.m. Now I'm in bed at like 9:30 so I could read. Look at the time. I must be getting sleepy. I'm going to go read now. I wish I was getting more reading and done. It feels like the days fill up so fast, but it's just still one of my favorite things to do is to relax with a good book.
Yes, I love this. I was sharing, I was like, there's a misconception that you spend all day reading. And I was like, yeah. I did.
I know, because you're working.
I had that job where I spent all day reading, and it was like, it was a good time, but I was underpaid. I was not getting paid the right amount. And then life happens and things happen and the world has opened up. And there's friendships, there's relationships, there's like hobbies, there's other interests. And so reading becomes kind of like something, an escape, that like a little treat, little end of the night treat too.
Oh, I love that. A little end of the night treat.
Yeah.
I like that. That's a good way of putting it.
Yes. All right. So let's talk about book recommendations. How many books do you recommend our listeners to pick up?
I will try and be brief, but one of the ones I just recently read was Rachel Lennon's new book, and it was called, I got to make sure that I don't screw up the title, because I mix up, she has two books with very similar titles, so I want to make sure that I don't mess this up. The Secret of Orange Blossom Cake. It's a little bit of magical realism in there. You're going to Italy. You're watching someone rebuild her life. You're going to want to eat every Italian food on the planet, and your mouth's going to water. And I actually she has a recipe for the cake in the book. And I actually splurged and watched and just came the other day, the orange blossom extract. She said, you got to use that. So I'm actually hoping to make that cake in the next few days. So that's one I loved. Another one I really thought was adorable was The Happy Life of Isadora Bentley. That is so adorable. That character is so quirky, and I love her character growth. And it's just, that is a charming book. And then one other, if we have time, this is one I recently read with my book club. It's called Culpability. And it starts with a family. They're in a self-driving car and they get in a car accident. And it goes on from there. They're not talking even just about AI and do we want to be in self-driving cars? Those things kind of creep me out. I don't want to be in one, but that's another story. But it also talks about how we interact with people and parenting. So you start with the focus here, and then it enlarges as the book goes on. And I found that really a fascinating read. Three different kinds of types of books, two in kind of our women's fiction romance lane, and then this other one, which I thought was a very good make you think book. So I would recommend all three of those for sure.
I am adding Culpability because I'm fascinated with the whole idea of self-driving cars and just seeing how the story shapes with them.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fascinating ride. Like, I didn't think of that would be a great setting for a book. Rachel Linden has been a friend of the podcast since 2019. Like, I love her magical realism. You do not need to go hungry.
I know. My gosh. I'm just like, wiping the drool off my mouth.
Yeah. It's like, I think she has a lemon drop line and the orange blossom. Like, they're just like a joy, especially during the season where you're like magical realism. This is like the perfect season.
I think it's her best yet. It's really charming. I just did a couple of weeks ago, did a little jaunt around visiting some bookstores together, and it was so much fun.
Yeah. She's offering your neighborhood.
There are so many of us in my area. It's like the woods is full of us. Oh my gosh. I don't know if it's kind of the Northwest cloudy winters that attracts everybody to stay inside, right? I don't know, but there are a lot of us out here, and it's great fun. We all try to get together whenever we can, but anyway, it's very fun. So those three, if you're looking for three really good books, those are my top at the moment. There'll be more, of course, but right now, my top three recommendations.
I love this, Sheila. Tell us where I can find you online.
I am all over the place, but my website, www.sheilasplace.com. That's my website. And I hang out on Facebook and Instagram and a little bit on TikTok. And I hope people will come and hang out with me. We're always doing something fun online. Love to have a good time with readers. Love talking with readers and meeting readers. And also meeting wonderful new influencers like I've had a chance to do today with you. That's been really special.
Awesome. Thank you, Sheila, for being on the show.
Thank you. What refund. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to the What to Read Next. For more book lists, cozy reads, and library tips, visit the whatreadnextblog.com. Your next great read might be waiting there. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers?
What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.